It's me again, Hank the Cowdog. Have we ever discussed the mop water files? Maybe not, because it's still highly classified information, and we're not ready to go public with it yet. We may never go public with it. It's too secret. Oh, and it has a scary ending. You wouldn't like that. That's too bad. It was a pretty interesting case, but I'm just not in a position to... You remember Rufus the Doberman Pinscher? Big guy, little green eyes, sharp pointed ears, long fangish teeth. A terrible bully, always tormenting Miss Beulah the Collie, and you talk about ugly. He was ugly, inside and out. It's still hard to believe that I actually challenged that guy to a fight to the death. But then came the bucket of toxic mop water and... Oops. I wasn't supposed to reveal anything about the case. Forget I said anything. Why, if this information fell into the wrong hands, just forget it. That's all I can say. What were we talking about? Oh, yes, the weather. It was the middle of summer, see, and hotter than blue blazes. It had been hot for days and weeks, and there I was, wearing a fur coat. Yellow jacket wasps hummed in the still air, and you could see heat waves slimmering on the horizon. The wind had quit blowing. The windmills had quit pumping. The cowboys had quit working. I had started out the morning in a nice piece of shade beneath the gas tanks, but by 11 o'clock, the shade had... I don't know what had happened to it. It had burned up or boiled away or something, and I found myself lying in the scorching glare of the sun. What a cheap trick! I had to summon up huge reserves of energy to move myself to another piece of shade on the west side of the storage tank. It was tough, let me tell you. And I just barely made it. But you know what? Something happened to that shade, too. And with an hour, I was roasting again. And all at once, I faced the toughest decision of the day. Would I get up and move my freight to another shady spot? Or would I just lie there and roast? I raised my head and studied the situation. I could see the shade. There it was, not more than 6 inches from my present location. But to get there, I would have to go through the entire jack-up-and-move procedure. Just as though I were moving halfway across the ranch. That doesn't seem fair, does it? If a guy travels no more than a few inches, he shouldn't have to go to all that trouble. Think about it. Raise head. Position legs under body. Push up on front legs. Push up on back legs. Coordinate the walking pattern for all four legs. Walk 6 inches to the west. Collapse. It wasn't fair. It was an outrage, and I decided that I wouldn't do it. By George, I would just lie there in the sun and roast. That would teach them, whoever they were, and I hoped they would take notice and quit messing around with my shade. I laid my head down and began roasting. I heard my deep breathing and listened to the stupid flies buzzing around my ears. I hate them. If I'd had more energy, I would have raised up and snapped them all out of the air. Snapped them out of the air and chewed them up into little bitty pieces of legs and wings, and then spit them out all over the ground. That's what a fly deserves. And that was how much I hated the little tormenting devils. But I didn't have the energy to initiate a good anti-fly defense program. So I just lay there in the sun and roasted and let the flies walk around my ears, over my face, into my nose. Okay, that did it. They could have the ears, but no fly walks into my nose. I lifted my head and cut loose a withering barrage of snapping. I missed them all, but they got the message and left my nose alone. And what the heck, once I had gone to all the trouble to raise my head, I figured I might as well go on into jack up and move. I jacked myself up, staggered 5 steps to the west, and collapsed. Whew, I was exhausted, but At least I wasn't roasting. I closed my eyes and tried to sleep. That's what I needed. Sleep. About 2 weeks of solid sleep. Unfortunately, Slim the cowboy came along just then. I cracked one eye, but did not lift my head. Too exhausted. Slim was a pretty good fellow, but not so good that I could afford to squander a lot of energy saying hello. Not in this heat. He stopped in the same piece of shade that I was occupying. He pulled a bandana out of his hip pocket and mopped his face.
Boy, it's hot. The weather report's prescribing another day over 100. This'll make about 5 days in a row.
Yes, I was aware of that.
It kind of saps a guy of energy, don't it, Hanky?
Right.
And you're just gonna lay there in the shade, aren't you?
Yep.
You're not even gonna jump up and wag your tail and tell me how wonderful I am, are you?
Nope.
It kinda hurts my feelings, Hanky.
Life is hard.
Well, I wish I could just lay around in the shade, but some of us have to work for a living.
That was a cheap shot. For his information, I not only had a job, but a very important job. It just happened that, well, I had run out of energy and ambition. You won't believe this. He flopped down on the gravel drive and pillowed his head on my rib cage. Had I invited him to put his sweaty head in the middle of my poor, exhausted body? No. I considered taking countermeasures, but too much trouble.
Ah, that's better, but you're awful bony for a pillow.
Well, if he didn't like my bones, he could go find a jellyfish. And speaking of bones, his head wasn't any feather bed. It was solid bone, and it was heavy and hot, and I didn't need it on my rib cage. Thank you.
Boy, this heat is terrible. It didn't used to bother me, but it sure does now. I've got 37 jobs to do and enough energy for about 3 of them.
Me too.
Too many birthdays, Hank. Don't you reckon that's the main problem?
I had no opinion on that. At last, he raised up to a sitting position. He looked down at me and grinned. I summoned up the energy to whap my tail on the ground 3 times.
Whew. Well, this has been fun, Hanky, but I'd better go pack them wheel bearings on the stock trailer. I can already tell that you ain't gonna do it.
Correcto. With much grunting and muttering, he pushed himself up and shuffled off to the machine shed. At last, peace and quiet. I closed my eyes and began floating out on a sea of Snark Marcus Skittlebaum. Huh? My eyes popped open. Someone had moved my shade again.
Was this some kind of joke? What was the deal?
Every time I got comfortable, some idiot... I summoned my last reserves of energy and drove her. There he was in front of me, giving me his usual foolish grin.
Hi, Hank. What you doing?
What I'm doing is trying to sleep, Drover, and restore my precious bodily fluids. But some maniac keeps moving my shade around. Did you see anybody messing with my shade?
Well, let me think here. I saw Slim.
No, it wasn't him. I've had him under constant surveillance.
Boy, that's a big word.
Thanks.
I wonder what it means.
I dragged myself back into the shade and flopped down. I don't know what it means. I don't have the energy to explain it. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Oh, that's okay. Sure is hot, isn't it?
I glared ice picks at him. Yes, it is, Drover. So why are you so chirpy?
Oh, I don't know. I've been watching the chickens chase grasshoppers.
Great.
You ever watch a chicken chase a grasshopper?
Yes.
It's kind of neat, isn't it?
No.
I mean, they're pretty good at it.
It's their business, Drover. If you're a chicken, that's what you do. Good night.
Good night. Only it's the middle of the day.
I'm aware of that.
Boy, it sure is hot.
That's why I'm shaded up, Drover. It's too hot to do any work, so snorkle, murking piffle.
Yeah, but I can't sleep and I get bored. You ever get bored?
Snark.
I do. You ever try to catch a grasshopper?
No.
Me neither. But I bet I could. Want me to try?
Sure. Go catch a piffle hopper.
Okay, here I go. At last, peace and quiet.
I sank into the warm embrace of a delicious dream, and Beulah? My goodness, there she was in all her splintering glory. The deep brown eyes, the flaxen hair, the perfect collie nose, the smile that said,
I caught one, Hank!
I lifted my head and opened both eyes and looked at the front in face of me. Beulah?
No, grasshopper.
What are you and who are you doing here?
Well, let's see. My name's Drover, and I'm your best friend, and I just caught a grasshopper.
Just because you're a grasshopper doesn't mean you're a friend of mine. Oh, where am I? I blinked my eyes. Okay, it's coming back now. You're Drover.
That's what I said.
There for a second, I thought you were Beulah.
No, it must have been me, 'cause I'm all I've ever been.
I stared at the runt.
What? I said, I'm all I've ever been, but I caught a grasshopper.
That doesn't make a lick of sense. All at once, he licked his chops.
Will you stop that? Stop what?
I've told you over and over not to do that.
What did I do?
I said that you're not making a lick of sense, and he licked his chops again.
There, you see? You keep doing it. What's wrong with you?
Well, I can't help it.
I hoisted myself up to a sitting position and turned a withering glare on my, whatever he was, my nitwit assistant, I guess. Of course you can help it. It's a totally absurd and meaningless gesture.
Not really. See, I ate a grasshopper, and that's why I was licking my chops.
You ate a grasshopper?
Yep, I sure did. Caught him with my own two paws and ate him with my own mouth.
I gave my head a shake.
Drover, that's disgusting. Eating a grasshopper? Son, chickens eat grasshoppers, but dogs don't.
Yeah, but I did.
That's appalling.
No, it was appealing.
Don't correct my spelling, and don't try to put words into my mouth. I said it was appalling, and that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, but I ate the grasshopper, and you didn't, so maybe you don't know how it tasted.
I narrowed my eyes at him. I can't believe you said that.
Have you no respect for your elders, your betters, your superiors? Just because I've never eaten a grasshopper, you think I don't know how they taste?
Well, that makes sense to me.
I'm shocked, Drover. Shocked and dismayed and disappointed that you would... Okay, just for the sake of argument, how did it taste? He grinned.
Well, it was pretty good.
See, I gave you a chance to express yourself, and what did you do?
Well, I told the truth.
No, you didn't tell the truth. You contradicted my theory of grasshoppers, is what you did. And if you can't give the right answer, what good is freedom of speech?
Well, I don't know. But I ate a grasshopper, and it was pretty good. And you ought to try one yourself.
I curled my lip. I will never eat a grasshopper. Bird dogs will fly before I eat a grasshopper. Hogs will ride side saddle before I eat a grasshopper.
They're better than you think.
No sale, Drover.
And they're better than dry dog food.
I don't want to hear it.
They taste kind of like chicken.
Well, of course they do, because that's what chickens eat.
Yeah, and you like the taste of chicken, don't you?
No, I... All at once it appeared that my mouth was watering as I recalled several delicious ultra-secret chicken dinners I had... I licked my chops, so to speak, and was unable to answer the question. Drover grinned.
See? I said chicken and you licked your chops, and that's the proof that you like chicken.
I did not lick my chops, and even if I had, it would prove almost nothing. For you see, Drover, ranch dogs are forbidden to eat chickens for good and obvious reasons.
Yeah, but that's my point.
I gave him a hard glare. Your point? Who or whom do you think you are? And when did you start putting points into your pointless conversations?
Well, I don't know, but I've got one now. You want to hear it?
Okay, let's hear it. His grin faded.
Gosh, I just lost it. I can't remember. Oh, darn.
Will you hurry up? I'm a very busy dog.
Okay, here we go. I've got it. The point is that grasshoppers taste like chicken, so when you eat a grasshopper, it's almost like eating a chicken.
Not a bad point, actually. And, you know, Sally Mae hates grasshoppers.
Yeah, 'cause they eat up her garden.
Exactly. So we're looking at possible bonus points here. I ran that one through my databanks. I find only one major flaw in your ointment, Drover. The back legs of a grasshopper are known to have spurs or barbs, which might lodge in the throats of certain dogs. He grinned and shrugged.
Well, they didn't bother me. I guess you have to chew them up is all.
Yes. But we still have one problem, Drover. I don't have the energy to catch a grasshopper. It's this heat. It drains me of all energy and ambition. I don't want to do anything but sleep. It's very discouraging.
Well, maybe a couple of fresh grasshoppers would help. They always seem to have plenty of energy, and so do the chickens.
I heaved a sigh and pushed myself up on all fours. Okay, Drover, I'll give it a shot. But if this doesn't work, I'll have to put it in your record. We made our way down to the yard gate. I happened to know that Sally Mae was out working in her yard, for I had seen her there before my nap. That is, before I had checked into the shade for treatment of extreme exhaustion and loss of precious bodily fluids. I knew she was out there working and slaving in the heat of the day in a heroic effort to beautify her house and therefore the ranch itself. I admired her dedication to greenery and beauty and so forth, and would have done almost anything to help her out. You'll notice that Slim and Loper were nowhere in sight. Bring out a shovel or a rake, and those guys disappear. It's like showing a cross to an umpire. They vanish like dewdrops in August. But there was Sally Mae, working and slaving in the hot sun, digging holes and planting tender little shrubberies and flowers around the yard fence. And what was the mainest threat to her tender little shrubberies and flowers and plants? Grasshoppers. You work and slave to put out your stuff, and the minute you walk away, the grasshoppers move in and start mowing them down. They're a plague, a pestilence, a menace to society, and they've been known to break the heart of many a courageous ranch wife. As head of ranch security, I considered it my duty, nay, my privilege, to rush to the defense of my master's wife and to protect her yard and greenery from all villains, monsters, and pests, and especially the hated grasshoppers. I was the first to arrive on the scene. I did a quick visual sweep and, there was her cat lurking nearby. When our eyes met, he arched his back and hissed. Why? It had nothing to do with fear. Pete wasn't smart enough to be afraid of a dog. No, he hissed out of sheer spite and jealousy. See, he thinks he's Sally Mae's precious kitty, and he can't stand the thought of sharing her attention with anyone else. So he hissed at me. Perhaps he thought this would throw me into an inflammation, that I would bark and give him the pounding he deserved, and that Sally Mae would rush to his defense. He thought, in other words, that he could use a cheap cat trick to get me in trouble with the lady of the house. But Pete had used that trick too often in the past, and it happened that I was prepared for it. Hensley, instead of barking and causing a scene, I gave him, shall we say, a toothy smile. I thought that would be the end of it. I was wrong. It turned out to be just the beginning. Hi, Kitty. It's so nice to see you again.
I don't think you mean that, Hanky.
Of course I mean it. A day without a cat is like a picnic without flies. Imperfect and incomplete.
Very funny, Hanky, but I think you'd better move along. I'm helping Sally Mae plant flowers, and we don't need you blundering around.
Drover had joined me by then, and I turned to him. Hey, Drover, did you hear that?
Hear what?
Pete just informed me that he's helping Sally Mae.
I'll be darned. What a nice kitty.
You missed the point, Drover. It was a stupid statement and a typical cat lie. Cats never help anyone but themselves.
Oh, yeah. Boy, what a stupid statement.
Exactly. Have you ever heard a stupid or statement in your whole life?
Well, what's a statement?
Drover, please. I'm trying to build my case against this cat. It's very simple. It's very easy. All you have to do is give the correct answer, which is no.
No.
Oh, so now you're refusing to obey orders, is that right? I've been noticing this little rebellious streak in you, Drover, and I can tell you that it's going to cause you nothing but trouble.
I just gave you the right answer, that's all. You said the answer was no, and I said no.
Oh. Well, perhaps. I whirled around and faced the cat. He had moved. I marched over to him. There, you see, Pete? An impartial panel of two dogs agrees that your Studer was stapled and... Suddenly, I had lost the thread of my argument. I whirled back to Drover. Drover, what was the point we were trying to make?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm all confused. Something about grasshoppers, I think.
Yes, of course. I whirled back to the cat. You see, Kitty, if you were really and truly trying to help Sally Mae with her planting chores, you would be catching grasshoppers. The cat stared at me with those weird eyes of his.
Oh, really? Why would I be catching grasshoppers?
Because, Kitty, grasshoppers are the sworn enemies of every ranch wife. Because grasshoppers eat plants and flowers and shrubberies.
How interesting. The only problem, Hanky, is that grasshoppers can make you choke. The back legs, you know. They hang up in your throat sometimes.
Drover and I exchanged glances. Then we started laughing.
Hey, Drover! Did you hear that?
Yeah, I can't believe he said that. What a stupid statement. He doesn't know that we eat grasshoppers all the time, does he?
I whirled back to the cat. For your information, Kitty, we eat grasshoppers all the time. Not only do we rid the ranch of these miserable pests, but we also increase our intake of protein and save the ranch money on dog food. And do we look choked, Pete? Are we coughing and gasping for breath? Ha! So much for your phony argument. Drover was jumping up and down.
Nice shot, Hank, nice shot. Boy, you really got him on that one.
Thanks, Drover, but I'm just getting warmed over. I leaned forward and put my nose in Kitty's face. Your problem with grasshoppers, Pete, is that you're too fat and lazy to catch one. Pete grinned and rolled his eyes.
Oh, really? And I suppose you're going to show me how it's done, hmm?
I gave Drover a wink. He just stepped into our trap, Drover.
Yeah, boy, we've got him now.
Back to the cat. Yes, as a matter of fact, Kitty, that's exactly what we're fixing to do. Before your very eyes, we will put on a live demonstration of doggy pest control. Pay attention and study your lessons. He grinned and widened his eyes.
Oh, I will, I will. I can hardly wait to see this.
I turned to Drover. Okay, pal, which one of us will lead off?
Oh, I guess I could, since I know more about it than you do.
There was a moment of silence.
I can't believe you said that, Drover.
Well, I see, you've done it, but I've studied it. I've studied it from all angles, the ups and the downs and the sidewayses of it. Yeah, but you may know a little more about the simple act of catching grasshoppers, but I'm much farther advanced in the theoretical aspects of pest control.
I'll be darned.
See, you've got to have a plan and a theory, Drover. You can't just go out and pounce on a grasshopper.
Boy, it sure is complicated.
I placed a paw on his shoulder. It is. And I'm afraid I'll have to handle this one myself. Work a little harder on the theoretical side, and maybe next time we'll let you go first. And with that, I went into my warm-up procedures and began loosening up the enormous muscles in my shoulders. Those big muscles up front are the ones you use in these situations. The jumpus muscle and the semi-lateral boogaloo, if you want to get into the scientific names. Anyways, I got them warmed up and ready for combat. Then I tossed a glance over at Sally Mae. She was on her knees, digging in the dirt with a hand trowel. Beside her, several feet away, was a bucket of something. Water, it appeared. Yes, it was water because she poured some of it around the roots of the plant she was planting. Well, she seemed deeply involved in her planning business and hadn't noticed me, so I went over to, well, wish her a good morning and to alert her to the fact that something important was fixing to happen. I approached her with a big cowdog smile and broad swings of the tail. It was lousy luck that I stepped on one of her posies, pansies, petunias, whatever they were, stepped on one of her flowers. And, okay, maybe one of my broad swings went a little wild and knocked over a potted plant. Two potted plants, several potted plants, and more or less whipped the straw hat off of her head. Boy, you sure have to watch those broad swings of the tail. Sometimes they're so full of joy and emotion, they get out of control and my goodness, she whirled on me with flared nostrils and flaming eyes.
Will you take your washtub feet and whiplash tail and get away from me?
Well, sure. I mean, I was just trying to... Hey, I could take a hint, and yes, I moved away from her. Sally Mae can be a little strange sometimes. But the important thing was that I had made her aware of my presence on the scene, and now I was ready to begin the pest control procedure. I wanted her to see the whole thing. I knew she would be proud, and I knew she would regret the hateful things she had said. I didn't have washtub feet, and I sure hadn't given her whiplash with my tail. Those were broad swings of the tail, and they're meant to show friendship and caring and love and devotion. Sometimes you can't avoid misunderstanding, no matter how hard you try. A big heart is no match for a small mind. Although I would be the last to suggest that Sally Mae had better quit while I'm ahead. Well, it was showtime. Everyone was watching me. Pete, Drover, Sally Mae. Okay, maybe she wasn't exactly watching me, but I was confident that I would grab her attention when the action started. And you know who else showed up? J.T. Cluck, the head rooster. Say, this event was really drawing a crowd, which didn't exactly break my heart. I must confess that I
kind of enjoy showing my stuff to an audience. And the bigger the audience, the better the performance. JT peered at me and twisted his head around.
What's going on around here?
Stand back, JT. I'm fixing to give a public demonstration of grasshopper capturation.
What's that mean?
It means that if you will get your feathers out of the way, I will demonstrate the theory and technique of capturing grasshoppers.
Huh. What does a dog know about catching grasshoppers? If you want to know about grasshoppers, talk to a rooster. That's what we do for a living, is what we do.
Would you move?
Huh? Of course they move. They don't just sit there, they hop. That's why they're called grasshoppers. And I'll tell you something else, Pooch. They're hard to swallow. You know them back legs? They scrape all the way down. And if you ain't real careful, you'll choke, is what happens.
Thank you, JT. Now, if you'll just...
Happened to Elsa's brother's uncle. What was his name? Oh, yeah. They called him Red. He was Red, see? The reddest darn rooster you ever saw. Had green tail feathers.
JT?
Choked on a grasshopper one day is what he done, and he died.
I stuck my nose in his face and rattled his beak with a ferocious bark. Move! That got his attention. He jumped 3 feet into the air, flapped and squawked, and left several feathers floating in the breeze. And best of all, he shut his beak and moved out of the way. Never argue with a rooster, I always say. Just go straight to the bottom line and give him a blast. At last, I was ready. I did a visual and sniffatory scan of the gravel drive. My instruments zeroed in on a target, bearing 197 degrees and 5.773 megawatts west of the yard gate. It was a smallish green hopper of the Omega class. I shifted into stealthy crouch mode and...
There's a nice little one over there, Hank. See him? You probably ought to start with a little one.
That was Drover. His voice not only broke my concentration, but it also alerted the grasshopper to my approach. He hopped away. The grasshopper, that is, not Drover. I marched over to him. To Drover, that is, not to the grasshopper. Drover, hush.
I was just trying to help.
I know you were trying to help, but don't. Just watch and learn and prepare yourself for the day when you too can catch grasshoppers. He gave me an empty stare.
I thought I knew how. I thought you were the one... Boy, I'm all confused.
Suddenly, his eyes grew wide.
Oh my gosh, there's a huge one.
My laser-like gaze swung around and fixated on the alleged huge one. By George, he was huge. Of the alfalfa beta big boy class, if you're familiar with the military terminology. He was one of those big green hoppers that can't fly and don't even hop very well because they're so fat. Not only are they an easy mark, but they're also rich in protein, vitamins, minerals, and rigmaroles. In other words, they're the very best kind for restoring youth and energy. Speaking of which, I was running low. I could feel my precious reserves of energy ebbing away. I had to hurry. This could be the one, Drover.
Well, I don't know. He's awful big.
I gave him a worldly smile. So am I, Drover. Watch this. And with that, I switched all scanning devices over to automatic and shifted into attack mode. For those of you interested in the technical aspects, I made this approach at 3 knots, with ears at 3/4 alert and a stiffened tail at 22 degrees. That sounds pretty complicated, doesn't it? A lot of dogs wouldn't have gone to so much trouble for a mere grasshopper. I mean, they would have just slopped and slouched in there, but I take pride in my work. No job is too small to be little, is the way I look at it. And besides, this was no ordinary grasshopper. His hopping molecules were going to restore my youthful vigor. I crept forward on paws that made not a sound. Nose out, tail out, ears up. The audience was silent. Every eye was locked on the unfolding drama. I could almost feel the tension. Then, a voice. Sally Mae's voice.
What on earth is that dog doing now?
Good, she was watching. I hoped she would realize that I was doing this to save her precious tender shrubberies and flowers from the grasshopper plague. Yes, we'd had our ups and downs, Sally Mae and I, and more than our share of misunderstandings. But perhaps this selfless act of selfless devotion would make up for whatever tiny mistakes I'd made in the past. I crept towards the target on paws that made... I've already said that. 5 feet away from ground zero, I halted, shifted my weight to a point directly over my powerful hind legs, went into a 75% crouch, tensed every muscle in my body, and took a deep breath of, well, air, of course. I cast one last glance towards the audience. Not a single eye blinked. I had their total concentration. And yes, even Sally Mae was watching. My gaze swung back to the target. It was time. All my years of study and training had come down to this one moment. I dared not fail. Suddenly, I exploded outward and upward like a rocket, an artillery shell, an arrow seeking its target. My front paws landed first, as you might have guessed, and trapped the hateful grasshopper villain. I could feel him kicking and trying to escape, but there was no chance of that. I heard Drover cheering me on.
You got him, Hank! Nice shot! Way to go!
I lifted my left paw, and there he was. A huge, green, hateful, yard-eating grasshopper. This one's for Sally Mae! I yelled and swept him up in my powerful jaws. Yep. The deed was done. I turned and faced the audience. Drover was jumping up and down. Pete wore a sour smile. JT had his head twisted, as though he hadn't really figured out what had happened. And Sally Mae, her eyes were shining in purest admiration, and I heard her exclaim,
"Did he just eat a grasshopper?"
You bet. And I'd done it just for... That grasshopper didn't taste much like chicken to me. And the longer the taste lingered in my mouth, the lesser it reminded me of chicken. Or anything else I'd ever wanted to eat. To tell you the truth, it reminded me of yucco, green slime, and old chewing tobacco, and Brussels sprout juice, and... I lifted my lips and moved my tongue around in hopes of cleansing my mouth of... That thing tasted horrible! What did grasshoppers eat to give themselves such a wretched... Garbage, rotten, stinking garbage, that's what they ate. And what kind of moron would think that this was the taste of chicken? Oh, what a fool I'd been to believe anything that Drover... I swallowed extra hard to get the awful green garbage taste out of my mouth, but now it appeared that something had lodged in my throat.